Blog Talk Radio.
Internet world, welcome to The Cross in the Desert, speaking hope and freedom to Iran. I'm your host, Randy L. Noble, and I want to say once again, thank you so much for taking time out of your busy life to join me today on the broadcast. Today is Monday, July 31st, 2023. Well, as always, summer is rapidly coming to an end, and we're about 6 weeks away or so from fall. Not my favorite time of year, but that's the subject for a different broadcast. Today on The Cross in the Desert, I want to focus in on the subject and the topic of truth. What is truth? Why is truth so important? And the title of our teaching today is The God of Truth. What does the Bible say about truth? And what does God think about the subject of truth? In our society, in our culture, we live literally in a sea of moral relativism. Basically, moral relativism denies any absolute truth is out there, and everything is based on opinion, preference, my idea, but there is no one system of absolute truth. Well, I'd like to challenge that this morning to the spiritual-seeking skeptic. And for you that are a Christian, this is a broadcast that's going to strengthen your foundation on what is truth and what the Bible has to say about it. In 3 John chapter 4, verse 1, or excuse me, 3 John chapter 1, verse 4, the Apostle John declares, "I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth." It brings God great honor and joy to understand and to see his children walking in the truth of his word. That's what John is talking about. Well, what is truth? Well, truth is what is real. Truth is really are. It is something that is objectively true, not subjectively, not a matter of personal opinion or preference. Truth is not some consensual cultural construct. So again, truth is what is real. It's what's correct. It's the way things are. It is what reality really is. Truth is the way things really are. And I'm going to get in a little of the philosophical application of this a little bit later. But I want to keep us focused on what the Bible has to say about truth. We're talking this morning about the God of truth. A scriptural understanding of truth encompasses more than just simple honesty. And now I'm quoting from a website that is excellent in answering the biblical questions. This is Got Questions, so that you know my source. The Bible reveals truth as a moral concept rooted in God's character. He is the Isaiah chapter 65, verse 16, New Living Translation. And his truthfulness embraces his steadfastness, trustworthiness, and eternal faithfulness. Psalm chapter 117, verse 2. Most commonly, discussions of truth have to do with you and I speaking the truth. Lying is the opposite of telling the truth. And of course, God never lies. The Bible says that God is not only truthful, but he himself is the essence of truth. He's the definition of what truth is. The reliability and trustworthiness of his being are very important to the biblical writers when they express God's truthfulness. When Scripture speaks of truth, it refers to a completeness of moral integrity that influences how one thinks and behaves. Now, you know, you probably know someone, whether it be a family member, a friend, a close associate, you can tell by their integrity and by their character that when they say something or you ask them an opinion of something, they're going to be upright and truthful. They're not going to cut corners. They're not going to shade the truth. You know, liberalism is always spinning the truth. But someone with moral integrity and uprightness, someone that adheres to the scriptures, is going to give you an honest answer and is someone you can trust. Now, God demonstrates that he is the truth. Depend on his words, his actions, his dealings. Scripture very clearly says God is not a man, so he does not lie. He is not a human, so he does not change his mind. Has he ever spoken and failed to act? Has he ever promised and not carried it through? That's the New Living Translation, Numbers 23:19. So God, comparing God with a sinful human being, he won't lie. He's not capable of lying. Because he's not human in his essence and nature. He's a spirit. And he cannot, or does not, I should say, and cannot change his mind. Has he ever spoken and failed to act? Of course not. So Numbers 23:19 very clearly says God is not a man that he should lie. God's word holds true. We can trust everything he does. He is completely reliable, Psalm 31, verse 5. The Lord is a rock-solid, trustworthy foundation for life because he is entirely reliable and consistent. Scriptures like Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 4, Psalm 145, verse 13. So when we come to God in prayer, when we come to the Word of God, we're not getting opinions. We're not getting preference. We're not getting good feelings. We're getting absolute truth. God's law and instructions outline the way of truth that is meant to lead people to him. The Bible says God's word is truth. The entirety of your word is truth, Psalm 119, 160. It says the living incarnate word of God, Jesus Christ, is the truth, John 1:14, verse 17. Jesus himself said in the oft-quoted verse, I speak about this all the time. Jesus says, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Now, Scripture also says that the gospel message itself is truth. The message is good news of salvation, that Jesus is the only way to everlasting life with God. Through Jesus, 1 John 5:20 says, we can know the true God. And now we live in fellowship with the true God because we live in fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ. He is the only true God, and he is eternal life. 1 John 5:20, New Living Translation. Now, correspondingly, likewise, the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth who dwells within all of us and leads us into all truth. The truth of God has personal, practical application in our lives. It has sanctifying power for the believer. Jesus in his high priestly prayer Ask the Father, quote, make them holy by your truth. Teach them your word, which is truth. Since the Bible is truth, Christians ought to study it, of course, working hard to understand and correctly to their lives. And this is what Jesus says, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Now, as followers of Christ, as children of God, we are to be people of the truth. And he wants us to tell the truth, but he detests those who lie. If you don't agree, if you don't know, Proverbs chapter 6, verses 16 through 19 talks about that. The Lord himself underscores the importance of truth by presenting us with the belt of truth, one of the first pieces of our spiritual armor. You can find that in Ephesians chapter 6. We combat the devil, or Satan, who is called in the scripture the father of lies. He is a crafty serpent who knows how to twist the truth. He knows how to twist scriptures. The cults do this all the time. It sounds Christian in terminology, but they've altered and twisted the truth. And that's what Satan does, who's the father of lies. The Bible says that God delights in truth. The Lord is close to all who call on him. Yes, to all who call on him in truth. Psalm 145, verse 18. Solomon, one of the first things he asked of God was, give me wisdom. And Solomon says, buy the truth and do not sell it. Wisdom, instruction, and insight as well. Proverbs 23, verse 23. God takes pleasure in seeing his truth defended and reflected in the character of his children. He calls us to worship him in truth. God is a spirit. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. We are to love others in truth and always speak the truth in love. Now, that's what the Bible says. Talk a little bit more specifically about what truth is. The best way to do that is we're going to go to the Gospel of John, chapter 18. I want you to hear this exchange between Pilate and Jesus after he's just been whipped and scourged before crucified. And in John chapter 18, here comes Pilate. He's entering into the praetorium, and he summons Jesus and says to him, are you the king of the Jews? Jesus says, are you saying this on your own initiative, or did others tell you about me? Pilate answers, I am not a Jew, am I? Your own nation and the chief priests delivered you to me. What have you done? Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then my servants would be fighting so that I would not be handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not of this realm. Therefore, Pilate said to him, so you are a king? Jesus answered, you say correctly that I am a king. For this I have been born, and for this I have come into the world to testify to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. Isn't that remarkable? Jesus came to exemplify, to testify the truth, and everyone who is of the truth will hear his voice. But then listen to what Pilate says. What is truth? It's a cynical, cynical statement. That's how he responds to Jesus referring to the truth. Why is truth? That's what the postmodern world says. What is truth? Well, let me tell you what truth is not in order to define it. Truth is not simply whatever works. That's pragmatism. In reality, lies can appear to work, but lies are still lies, and that's not the truth. Only what is understandable or coherent. Why? A group of people can get together and form a conspiracy based on a set of falsehoods where they all agree to tell the same false story. But that does not make their presentation true. And truth is not what makes people feel good. Unfortunately, bad news can be true. Truth is not what the majority says is true. 51% of a group can teach something that's false. They can reach a wrong conclusion. Yet, truth is not defined by what is intended. Good intentions can still be wrong. Truth is not how we know. Truth is what we know. Truth is not simply what is believed. A lie is still a lie. The truth is very important. The Greek word for truth is aletheia, which literally means to unhide or hiding nothing. It conveys the thought that truth is always there, always open and available for all to see, with nothing hidden or obscuring it. The Hebrew word for truth is emet, which means firmness, constancy, duration. And what that really says from a philosophical viewpoint is truth is that which corresponds to reality. Truth is that which matches its object. Truth is simply telling it like it is. In short, like I said, truth is simply telling it like it is. It's the way things really are. Any other viewpoint is wrong. And it's the task of us as philosophers, as theologians, to make the distinction between truth and error. And this is so important because I mentioned at the top of the program, we live in an era, in a culture of relativism. And people will say, well, that's true for you, but not for me. You've heard this so many times. All truth is opinion. All truth is, you know, preference. But then you have no foundation. You have no system to say this is true and this is false. You have no standard, especially if you're an atheist and God does not exist in your thinking. Well, we need to look closer as to the topic of truth this morning. I want us to look, in conclusion, at some biblical examples of truth, some biblical verses about truth. The one that is so important to know is John 14, verse 6. Jesus declares, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Now, you can't put a spin on that. Jesus says, if you're lost, I'm the way. If you're looking for reasons to believe, you're looking for understanding, I am the truth. And if you want life, I'm the life. It's very clear. He's the way, the truth, and the life. John 8:30, true. And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. John chapter 16, verse 13, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. John chapter 17, 17, sanctify them in the truth. This is the prayer of Jesus to the Father. Your word is truth. It's very clear that the Bible is the truth. The word of God is the truth. John chapter 4, verse 24, God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. 2 Timothy 2:15, do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth. When we go to the Bible, we're not getting men's opinions. We're not getting men's feelings and, you know, this is what I think about this. You're getting God's truth in revelatory form. He has communicated to us in language. Now, there are rules, of course, for interpretation as we go throughout Scripture, but nonetheless, thy word is truth, Jesus said, and this is the word of truth. Now, the opposite of truth is lying. Proverbs 12:22, lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but those who act faith are his delight. God hates liars. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 14, stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth and having put on the breastplate of righteousness. 1 John 3:18, little children, Let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth. Psalm 145, verse 18, the Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. Psalm 119, verse 160, the sum of your word is truth. Psalm 25, 5, lead me in your truth and teach me. John 1:14, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. We as Christians need to rejoice in the truth. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15, rather speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ. For the law was given through Moses, John 1:17. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Psalm 86:11. Teach me your way, O Lord, that I may walk in your truth. Unite my heart to fear your name. There are many other passages, but I'm giving you some of the most prevalent ones. And this morning on the program, I have explained to you, and I guess the simplest terms, what is truth and why truth is important. In a world that we live in where so many people lie to us, politicians are the champions of liars. They have a history of lying, a history of falsehood that leads to disaster if you believe it. We are children of God that must stand firm on the truth of God's word. It is the only foundation that won't crumble. Any other foundation is like sinking sand. If you build your life on the words and opinions of men and reject the word of God, which is the truth, your house of cards is going to crumble. We need to build our lives on the truth of God's word. And he is the God of truth. If you're spiritually seeking this morning, I want you to know God is like a river. He will overflow his truth in your life. And I want you to hear this song right now from Michael W. Smith.
If you hurt me, I'll take your pain. If your life is dry and
What a beautiful song of worship. That is Michael Sweet and the River, a song that invites you into the living waters of our God of truth. This morning on the cross in the desert, I think I just opened up a can of worms for a lot of you people that are searching for the truth, but I hope I've given you enough morsels from the master's table that will entice you to be a spiritual seeker and want to discover more of the truth that I've been talking about. It is the truth of who God is. It is the truth of his word. And I say spiritual seekers, there's many folks out there that believe there are many pathways to know who God is. And I'm here to say, according to the word of God, according to the truth of who God is, Jesus says, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. He is the God of truth. If you're looking for meaning and purpose, if you're looking for the way, if you're looking for life, Jesus says very clearly, I am the way and the truth and the life. This morning I've been talking about this very important, vital topic, and I hope that you will take some time to maybe listen to this broadcast a few times and copy down the verses and the quotes. It's all from Got Questions for your further research if you want to check it out. That's who I relied on this morning, a good resource for answers to biblical questions. I want you to have a great week. I want you to be able to enjoy your time. If you're on vacation like me, to enjoy your week off. And as always, you know, here on the Cross in the Desert, I'm on Monday and Thursdays, every Monday and Thursday at 9:30 a.m. Central Standard Time. Always being a voice for my Iranian friends, always the teaching the truth of God's word. God bless you. Have a great week. I will see you this Thursday, once again on the Cross in the Desert.